This is Sunday morning, 2/28/21, Learning to Flow in the Supernatural. This is the title of this. I had another direction, and the Lord changed this direction today, so if the shoe fits, wear it. Discerning between soul and spirit is the title. That's Hebrews 4, verse 16. This chapter talks about Jesus the high priest, and it says in verse 16, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Just a second. I thought I had that marked. Just a second. All right, this is verse 12. "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." So learning to discern between the soul and the spirit. We must always be aware of Satan's tactics. This is 2 Corinthians 2:11, "Lest Satan should get advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." We must constantly be aware of the tactics of the enemy. As humans with a soul, that's your mind, will, and your emotions, we must keep them in check and not let them get out of place. We are not to be led by our emotions. All right, I want you to look over now to the parable of the sower. This is Mark chapter 4. This is exactly what Satan used to steal their harvest from them, their emotions. This is Mark 4:14. It says here, "The sower sows the word, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. They must have took a thought. And these are they likewise which are sown on the stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown." What would be persecution against for the word's sake? Wouldn't it be the opposite of what you were believing for? It would cause you to get offended. "And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things, enter in, choke the word, and it becometh fruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. So Satan came to steal the word. How does he steal the word? He brings a thought. He's trying to take away from you what you have decided that you want, what you've asked God for, what you've sown the seed for. We must not let care cause us to act. We act on the word, not on care. Okay, I'll be giving you some examples here. What is the basis for your giving? Here's some examples the Lord gave me. What is the basis for your giving? Well, I know that person has needs and they don't have a lot of money, yada, yada, yada. I want to give because I want something. And if I give something, then it'll be given to me. I remember Charles Capp saying, yeah, you know, you see somebody, they gave away a car and, you think... And then somebody got them a car. He said, it was so neat. So they decided to sell their old bomb. He said, you're probably going to end up walking for many months. See, motive. Why are you doing what you do? Why do you give? What's the motivation of it? Is it soulish? Or is it led by the Spirit? See, discerning between soul and spirit. See, should we just do it based on logic? See, when you get around people and they have needs, then it begins to pull on your heartstring. And what does that do? It causes you to be led by your heart. That's your emotions. Instead of, hath God said? Shouldn't we be led by the Spirit in everything we do? The sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Now, I'm telling you, these are Satan's tactics. Because I had this happen to me. I've had it happen to me several times. Where, you know, I know when the Lord speaks to me to give something, I do. But sometimes it's like, something's not right about that. It's like it's just different. It's a pulling in a way that you don't, it just, something's not right here. For as many as led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. And then Galatians 5:16 says, then I say then, walk in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You have to remember the care bear snare. We cannot carry the care of another human being. We cannot be their provider. There's only one provider, Jehovah Jireh. I remember Joyce Meyer coining a phrase. I believe the Lord showed me here she had an over sense of responsibility. In other words, she always thought she had to fix everything. Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. If what you do for others causes them to look to you instead of Jesus, Houston, there is a problem. Like I said, I was going to go another direction, then the Lord changed it to this direction, so He knows. Now you can see how care can sneak in and you don't even realize it. You begin to take on the burdens of others, and you feel, obligation's not the right word, but you feel, you know, it might pull you to do something that God's not leading. My example, and I've given you this example before. I was in a meeting, and this special speaker was there, and I asked the Lord, okay, Lord, it's offering time. What do you want me to give? You want me to give $100? And He said, well, how much do you have in your wallet? And I said, $3. He said, give $3. Because we've been raised in the word of faith that bigger was always better. Or maybe they didn't raise us that way, but that's the way we thought. We thought, well, the bigger the better. But then we see the widow's mite and the recognition that she got. What was the powerful thing about the widow's mite? Not that she did give all. She did give all, but the thing was, she was setting herself up for harvest. When all the rich people were throwing in all these big amounts to be seen by men and think, look at me. Yeah. All right. Many have their opinion about this situation, but I believe she had hold of a principle and God led her to give her last two mites. It set her up for harvest. The others were just doing it for accolades, much like the widow that gave her last bit for the prophet to eat and see that her household ate for many days. See, she was going to eat it and die, her and her son. But when she gave to the prophet, which was, he was God's representative, her household didn't eat many days. Wasn't the fact that they were poor, is that they were willing to give the little they had over the massive amounts they think they have to have, or it's not worth anything. Okay. We don't want emotions to lead us in what God tells us to do. God has to be the one that leads, not our emotions. We live in a world that pressures you to do just the opposite. They're shaming us right now for being white. You're a people of privilege. Why? Because we have a roof over our heads and a car to drive and have a job to go to, food on our table. They don't care about those that don't have a roof over their head. They just want to take every dime from you. See, that's Satan's bunch. Kill, steal, destroy. We can't aid and abate him in any way. We can't let him use our emotions to pull on us. I've seen people, I've seen white people bow down to black people and ask forgiveness for being a white supremacist when they're not. Are these big old black women with these big old fat mouths that come up and say, "You just get out of your house, I'm going to take your house." I'm just going, oh, heck no. See, that's what the world's trying to do, even Coca-Cola. And I like Coca-Cola. In fact, I'm taking Coca-Cola. They're not going to take my Coca-Cola, my collectibles that I've collected all those years that I've enjoyed. No. You bad people are going to get the heck out of there. And good people are going to be in their place. All right. Jehovah Jireh, He is our provider. We are not provider. We are vessels. And God has supplied us with assets to give away as He leads. This was started the way we started out this morning. The Lord knows. Personally, I would rather know nothing about any situation, because the less I know, the better I can hear from God and act on what He says do. Because I haven't had them, nobody knows the trouble I've seen thing going on. And then your heart gets involved. Is anybody home today? Okay. All right. Let's read a couple of scriptures here. Psalms 27. Verse 10, or you don't have to, I'll turn there real quick. Psalms 27:10. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. All right, Psalm 68, verse 5 and 6. A father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows is God in His holy habitation. God setteth solitary in families. When someone's need pulls on you, I believe that is a danger signal that you're entering into care. You're beginning to take care over what they have said to you, and it's starting to burden you. You can't let that happen. You can't let that happen. We must avoid that at all cost, okay? Let's look over to John chapter 6. Verse 12. And when they were filled, He said unto His disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost." See, He fed the multitude. A miracle happened. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men which they had seen the miracle that Jesus did said, "This of a truth, that prophet that should come into the world." When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take Him by force to make Him a king, He departed again into a mountain by Himself alone. See, Jesus was not going to let those people begin to pull on Him and cause Him to step outside of Father's will. All right, one more. 1 Thessalonians 5, 22. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Care is evil. See, fear. Care is rooted in fear, or fear is rooted in care. Care is rooted in fear. That's Satan's modus operandi. Okay? All right, abstain from all appearance of evil. Care is evil. It is his M.O. I remember Brother Palmer, when we were going out to Life Unlimited, he talked about a family in their church. He's always taking them groceries and doing stuff for them. And one day the Lord says, "I can't teach them anything because you keep getting in the way." Yeah. God is leading us, not the other way around. And we're going to look at a few scriptures here of Jesus, how He was led. John 5:19. That's what I mean. Sometimes the devil will be so sneaky about things. Like I said, I'd rather know nothing about nothing. The Lord just says, boom, do this. And then you can do it, and there's no wishy-washy about it. But then you get around a situation, and then and all of a sudden you start having this pressure to give something. That's a better way. It's like a pressure comes on you to give something. And you're going, something's not right here. See, that's the enemy, to get you out of the will of God. It doesn't have to be a bad thing, just to get you out of from following God. Okay, John 5:19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. All right, 8:28 of John. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I can do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Okay, John 12. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say, what I should speak, and I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. I'd say it was led by Spirit, wouldn't you? Hey, I'm doing good. Did Jesus have emotions? Yes, we know two times he wept. Wept over Jerusalem. Wept over Lazarus' grave. Did Jesus have a different will than the Father? Absolutely. We're going to look at that. This is Luke chapter 22. Like I said, this isn't carnal love bringing this. This is the Holy Spirit bringing you what for whatever reason. Because like I said, I had a different direction that I thought the Lord had given me to go, and he changed it. Just saying. 39. And he came out and went, and he was wont on the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He had a different will, didn't he? I don't want to go to the cross. I don't want to go through what I'm going to have to go through. But he submitted to the Father. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. All right, a couple more, and I'll be done. John 5. One through eight. And it came to pass, as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, saw two ships standing by the lake. I don't think that's supposed to be there. One, let me think. No, I don't know why I put that there. But let's read John 11. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm just going to say it to you since we've been long today. In the story of Lazarus, everybody pulled on him to run to his aid when he was sick, Lazarus. But Jesus waited an extra 2 days after he got the news, and Lazarus had already been dead 4 days when he got there, and everybody blamed him for it. Martha and Mary. If he had been here, my brother would not have died. But you know what? If Jesus had run to the aid of Lazarus whenever he felt that compulsion for his friend, then God could not have used him to raise Lazarus up. Even though that compulsion was there to go to his friends. Just like when his mothers and brothers and sisters were pulling on him. And he said, who are my mother, my brother, my sisters? See, the devil will use good things to pull, or supposedly not evil things, to pull on you to do, to get you out of God's will, to make a wrong step. And it's just like getting back to more is better. The man at the pool. There were multitudes of infirm people that day, multitudes. And God sent him to one man. He sent him to Sychar to one woman at the well. So the message today is for you to know that you are not the provider of anyone. God alone is. But we are to carry on free from care, and whatever he says to us, that's what we're to do. At the wedding of Canaan, his mother, they don't have any wine. He said, what is that to me? And then God spoke to him and said, okay, we're going to turn the water into wine here. But before that, he didn't have anything. He's like, I can't do anything of myself. See, I believe that's what's the Lord's, that's the whole message of everything today. The Lord wants us to let him lead, and we're to be the followers. We're to do whatever he says do, and not think that we're provider. He is. Okay.